Welcome back, everyone. Thank you all for joining us. We'll proceed to the second part of our panel, which will give some insights into the interview process. Paul Meany is the intellectual history editor at libertarianism.org and was himself an intern for libertarianism.org as part of the summer 2018 cohort. Rachel Johnson is government affairs coordinator at Cato's federal affairs team and was also an intern for media relations as part of the spring 2021 cohort. Travis Fisher is director of energy and environmental policy studies here at Cato and has nearly 20 years of experience in energy policy. He works directly with research interns for his department. So I will begin with a general question for all of you, starting with Paul. Now, each of you helped to interview interns for your teams. Now, are there any indicators from the interview that someone is going to be enjoyable and effective to work with? And, you know, are there times when an intern has surprised you by being better than they were in the interview? What do you think, Paul?
The application, there's lots of limits on it. There's lots of character limits. There's only so much you can say. So really what we're looking for is the interview to kind of be an extension of your application, for you to be able to explain all those little ins and out bits that you didn't get to talk about before. Mm-hmm. And I think the main thing we're looking for in interview, there's a bit of a misconception that we're looking for expertise. Some departments are looking for people who are experts, who have masters, who have got really high education. But most people, we're looking to come where they're at. We're just trying to spark the intellectual curiosity. And that's the thing we care most about, that people who are interested in the kind of work we're doing, that want to be involved more with it, that ask lots of questions, that want to learn. Because it's important that you do the work as an intern, but also a large part of it is the seminar series on learning. It's not just about working at Cato, it's also developing at Cato as well. And so I think the most important thing we look for in an interview is an extension of all those good traits that someone exhibited in their application and a bit of expanding on them more, but also kind of just showing how intellectually curious and engaged they are.
Indeed. You know, there is quite a range of people who are accepted to the internship program, and as you have seen, that can be as far along as law school, but we have even had high school seniors actually participate as well. So, Rachel, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd love to touch on the second part of your question of someone who surprised me by doing better throughout the internship than they did on their interview. Yeah. And this is not entirely their fault. It was kind of a funny situation where we gave them some notice and they wound up being on an Amtrak ride during the only time that we could interview them. So they were cutting in and out as the train was going along, and they were trying to do these long, you know, diatribes about why they want to work at Cato and why they have come to these libertarian beliefs as they're cutting in and out. So that communications barrier was definitely there for the interview, but it wasn't throughout their internship. They were really proactive in how they communicated with the team and did really well overall.
I think that's a good, important lesson. Sometimes you just have to roll with it. Put your best foot forward. Do the best that you can. Travis, what do you think?
So I see the interview as adding an extra layer. You know, exactly as Paul said, it's the things you can't get from the paper application. Mm-hmm. Like, what things would jump out to you? You can't really get a sense of a person's either the personality, a mm-hmm. Good cultural fit. Do you even like the person? Just those basic characteristics. And I think one thing that stands out is like, well, you can the vetting process before that phone call or Teams meeting. Mm-hmm. The vetting process already makes sure that you're a good student, you're strong academically, you've got the right background. And then the question is it a good fit, and are you going to enjoy working with this person? I think that's the thing that a conversation can bring out that you really don't get from the paper application.
I agree with that. You know, it's important to recognize that you've gone to the interview process, and what that means is that you have progressed so far that now it's just like Travis said, you know, now we're just trying to ascertain, you know, what is your cultural fit? And indeed, that is one thing to certainly consider, is not just understanding the work that we do, but also, you know, maybe watch some of our events and get an idea of the kind of culture that we have and the ideas that we have as well. Thank you all. So I have some more specific questions. So Paul, during interviews, you tend to focus on the books that people put down in their application. How have you seen successful interns discuss their books effectively?
So I work in a very particular department. I work at libertarianism.org, and a lot of Cato generally deals with policy, but libertarianism.org deals with principles, the intellectual history behind libertarianism, philosophy, history. It really deals with a wide variety of subjects. And so the books part is really essential for anyone in that kind of application. Mm-hmm. And what we're really looking for with the books is just we're not looking for you to put down ideally what we would like you to put down. We're looking for you to kind of portray your personality and your own intellectual journey through these different kinds of books. It's really easy to just say, okay, well, it's a libertarian place, so I'll put down Friedman, Hayek, Mises, I'll put down all these big names, and I'm a shoo-in. We're not really looking for that. What we're looking for is an interest in the department that you applied for, but also a general interest in political landscape and debate and ideas overall. And so I don't think people need to come to the application trying to be some sort of doctrinaire libertarian, because that's not what we're asking. What we're asking is, who are you? What do you bring to the table? And how did you come to apply to Cato? What was your intellectual journey, really? And so I think it should be really as individualized as possible. But a piece of advice I would always give is, generally at the applications, you have to apply for two departments, if I remember right.
Yes.
So at least have one of the books in your list relate to the department that you want to work at. So if you want to work in energy policy with Travis, it would be very recommendable to have a book on energy or something that's related to it, whether it's economics, whether it's history, something that relates to your scholar's field. And you want to show that you're kind of aware of the general gist of things that are going on within this kind of space. Again, we're not expecting experts, but we want someone who's at least interested.
That's right. You know, again, I think what's really important is, as Paul mentioned, try to draw connections between the different parts of your application. And don't just tell us what these books are about. You know, really indicate the role that they played in your intellectual development, because we're just not just interested in your professional life, but also what your intellectual life has been as well. Thank you, Paul. Rachel, since coming to Cato full-time, you've interviewed many candidates about their experience, but also their professional skills, like time management and communication. What do you think makes an intern an effective communicator, and how do you know that someone is going to be able to manage their time well?
I think what makes an intern an effective communicator is being able to balance being proactive and having a sense of urgency to get the assignment done and get it done on their own as much as possible. So I always tell my interns that myself and their other supervisors are, you know, we're your friends, we're here to help you, we're here to be a resource for you, don't be afraid of us, come ask us questions if you need to. But I also need interns to have some self-reliance, that they're able to go out and try to do something, try to look up the answer to their question ahead of just coming to me with all of their questions. So I think it's finding the balance of being proactive, but not entirely coming to us for every single solution to your questions. And I think to your question on time management, a lot of the internship program is you're going to have the seminar series, you're going to have different things coming up throughout the day. But I think what's most important is being able to manage both longer term projects and then what's happening in the short term. Maybe that day you have an assignment come up that needs to be done at the end of the day, but you also have a seminar and a longer term project. It's being able to balance your time between the seminar and maybe the shorter term project that needs to get done that day. And then also maybe you have time to work on the longer term project, but it's knowing what needs to be prioritized.
Indeed. And I think one of the important things about time management is it's not just about the work you do for us. We want an intern to be able to take advantage of the DC experience, be able to leave enough time to pursue professional development in whatever way that would be beneficial to their careers. And so it is really about being able to take advantage of all that this great city has to offer, in addition to being a good worker who manages their time well.
Exactly. I'll actually kind of add to that. We want the interns to be good for our purposes and help our departments, obviously, but we also want this internship to help the interns' professional development and their experience. So as a government affairs professional at Cato, that is kind of a great opportunity that you can work in all of these different policy areas. You can work on energy, you can work on tech, you can work on health policy. And what really makes an intern stand out is that they have gotten into the government affairs program, but they have a policy area that they're interested in, so that way we can help tailor their experience to get that policy area implemented as well.
And can I add one other thing? I would just like to add, on professional skills, I think one of the most important, at least from my experience, is to be accurate, to have accuracy and to source everything. We do not want anything to come out into the public that is not accurate, that is not perfectly justifiable or some sort of proof. So I think having that detail-oriented mindset is really important, and that really spreads to every single department, whether it's the events team, or government affairs, whatever it may be. Being detail-oriented and time management is extremely important, because there's a lot of different kinds of work. It's very, very different, and it's not your usual kind of office job. Mm-hmm. So it requires a lot of thought. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Did you have anything to add to this one, Travis?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with everything they're saying. I mean, I'll just leave it there. Paul is exactly right.
That's right. Very good. Well, Travis, in the past, you've asked an intern candidate to review some of your recent work and provide comments. What do you think makes someone's analysis of your work stand out? And how does this connect to what you might look for in interns more broadly?
So I think what's important here is demonstrating that you can do the job instead of, it's sort of a show instead of a tell. So you want to show that you are able to do the work instead of just saying, well, you know, I've done work like this in the past. Mm-hmm. And to actually see it, especially when it's a set of comments back. So if I'm asking for feedback on my own work, it's obviously something that I know well, but I want to make sure that the other person understands it and that, you know, a good applicant would have a couple things in terms of feedback. It would be you understand the concepts, the topic, the policy area, which is sort of the baseline, but that you're also comfortable enough to give constructive criticism. And I think that's a key part of the job in terms of what I would expect an intern to be able to do is, you know, part of it might be reviewing a piece that I've written. So this is basically showing that you're ready on day one to come in and actually do the work instead of saying, oh, yeah, I could probably come up to speed on that. You just have the assurance up front that, yes, I can do this work, and that's the easiest way to show it. And, in fact, that's what I did on my application on the way in was I was asked to review some Cato work that had already been published. Yeah. And that can be sort of daunting because you're thinking, well, it was good enough to publish, so who am I to criticize it? Mm-hmm. I did actually have some feedback. So, I mean, I think that was a way to show that I was engaged, that I knew what I was talking about, and that I was willing to sort of engage in that feedback process, which I think is immensely important here. And, you know, in terms of getting things right, the accuracy element, that's part of how we do it, is we need that strong feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, honestly, you know, being familiar with the work that we do is great advice for an application generally, you know, whether it's a particular department or just our work more broadly. You know, try to indicate on the application, why do you find the work that we do meaningful? We are a mission-based nonprofit at the end of the day. It's a very important element to keep in mind. Well, all right, so now I'm going to go to some questions from the audience. And I just want to take one real quickly myself. So you do not have to be a U.S. citizen to apply. We either ask that you request J-1 sponsorship from us or otherwise obtain work authorization, which most international students obtain through their schools. So I'm wondering if each of you could tell me a little bit about what is the day-to-day like with each of your interns. You know, feel free to highlight the specifics that go into your roles and, you know, maybe even touch on some things that you've already clarified. So, Paul, what would you say?
Well, just quickly to touch on, yes, it's open to people from all over the world. It's not just for U.S. citizens. I'm from Ireland, and I applied back in 2018. So it's definitely something you can do, and we always love the variety and different kinds of people coming from all over, and it really brings up the internship to another level when you've got all those different perspectives going around the intern room. Mm-hmm. But to talk a little bit about what the day of an intern looks like, it can be extremely varied depending on what team you're on. So my team at libertarianism.org, you might be doing a little bit of marketing research, trying to understand our audience, but you also might be asked to go back and do some research on ancient philosophers or enlightenment theories of progress. You're really asked to do a huge broad sweep of things, but then you might get an email from me later in the day saying, hey, could you take a look at this piece I've been writing, give me some feedback, show me where I'm getting the typos, be critical, does this make sense? So it's an awful lot of research, analysis, reading, backing up different sources, helping out with footnotes, helping out with the website as well that we run, libertarianism.org. There is a huge amount of variety, and every department has a whole lot to do. So I can never give you a easy day in the life, but when I was an intern, what my regular day looked like was looking over versions of audiobooks to make sure that the audio was accurate, but giving feedback on manuscripts and books as well, reading through them, but also it was doing research for different scholars. And another thing I'd really like to specify is that, yes, you apply for a particular department for your internship, mm-hmm. but once you're here, you're able to work for the departments as you see fit. If you have the time, if you have the energy, and you have the drive, you are able to work for other departments. And so that really means that no intern's day ever looks the same, because they might be working for libertarianism.org and energy policy and maybe doing a little bit of government affairs at the same time. And that's that professional development angle. So for anyone, I would say the best way to think about it isn't that there's going to be one particular kind of day. It's that you can kind of go out there and find a lot of different things to do if you really put yourself out there, talk to different scholars, introduce yourself, yep. because We all talk about this at Cato, that the interns are not just people to go back and forth and do work for us. They're full-time employees while they're here, and we treat them as such, and we give them that respect, but also the same responsibilities as well. So I think the work's really hands-on, really varied, and there's sadly no one easy answer to what your day will look like, but it'll at the very minimum be interesting.
Indeed, indeed. You know, and that's also important why, you know, time management is also a very valuable skill. And, you know, I also think another thing to keep in mind is that, as Paul mentioned, yes, you know, if you are working in one particular department, but you're really interested in what another department does, as long as you effectively manage your time, you can pursue work for that department. I've seen an intern who was working in criminal justice make the transition to foreign policy, and I recently wrote her a recommendation to enter an international affairs MA program. We've had interns work on media relations who have an interest in tax policy, and so the tax scholar actually had some work for them. And so very open in terms of, you know, you being able to take advantage of work that other scholars might have, you know, and a very open culture with scholars who want to connect with students. Indeed, indeed. Rachel, what would you say?
Definitely agree with Paul that every single day is going to be different for a government affairs intern as well. Mm-hmm. I'll kind of go through some of the bigger things that will come up more typically. Oftentimes, we're going to have our scholars invited to testify before Congress, different committees, or different state houses. An important thing to prepare them for that is to have some of our government affairs team, as well as interns, go through all of the different members of that committee, look at their background, look at what comments they might have made about the subject that our scholars testifying on, and providing them with that before they go testify. So that way they know what they're walking into. They know the positions of people and how they line up with what they're going to be saying in their testimony, and what questions they might expect to get from those different members. Another thing kind of similar, when we have meetings with different congressional offices, we might often ask our interns, hey, can you look into the background of this office and what they've said about maybe these different bills, these different topics that we're going to discuss with them? So I think that background research, knowing our, so that's important that you know our scholars' position, and then you are able to research and find what these different politicians' positions are. I think another thing that often comes up is administrative work. Sometimes you're going to have those as more of the longer-term projects of, you know, documenting different meetings that we might have had, different hearings, different publications that we've pushed out to the Hill and to folks in state legislatures. So every day you're going to have some different things. I like to say we're going to move at, you know, the speed of politics. So things are going to change on different days. Sometimes it might be slow. Sometimes it might be super fast paced that we have something big coming up. Another thing, aside from when we have people testifying, is that if there's a hearing that we're interested in, I might tell an intern, hey, can you take me some notes on this hearing? So that way, while I'm in meetings, they're watching the hearing that I would have missed. But then going to what you all have said about looking outside of your specific department, and that goes back to what I was saying about there's government affairs is great because all of the departments essentially are going to be doing government affairs, all the different research areas. So if maybe an intern is interested in energy policy and there's an energy and commerce hearing that they're interested in, they are welcome to take the initiative and take notes on that if they have the time. So time management allows them to do those things that might be more interesting to them as well. And it's always appreciated when someone goes out of their way to show us that they're interested in helping us, but they also have a passion for a specific area.
Indeed. You know, I think a recurring theme here is definitely understanding the stances that our scholars have and being able to communicate that. The Cato Institute, as an organization, does not have a set of institutional standards. Our scholars come to conclusions based on their research. So, Travis, to you, what is the day-to-day like with your intern?
So I will note that I think it's very different for different departments, different types. You know, the government affairs team, incredibly strong. You guys are doing great work. One thing that I've noticed is I think actually you can learn a lot from the interview. So if you're coming into the program, interviewing for it, great example was the interview that I did with Zoe on her way in. I mean, I was in an Uber on the way to the Hill. That's a snapshot. That's a pretty accurate snapshot of how things work. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly buzzing around. And, you know, that also gets to the point about, you know, day-to-day is going to be very different. Even if you're supporting just one person, their day-to-day is going to be very different. Mm-hmm. Some days I'm in nonstop meetings. Some days I'm trying to write. So it really does depend on sort of who you're supporting, how that person works. And the I would put an emphasis on flexibility here. There are going to be some days when I'm very specific and can say, I need this number of words written on this topic by here's the due date. That's about as specific as I'll get most times, and Zoe knows this well. Sometimes it's crickets, and it's because I'm off doing something else, and I can't necessarily give the direction. So then it's the flexibility to either support other interns and support the work that they're doing, do the things on your own time. There's all sorts of things to do in town. So the day-to-day is going to be so varied, and not just varied, but unpredictable. Completely unpredictable, and I try my best to be as predictable as possible, but sometimes it's not up to me. You know, I was pulled into a hearing with about 6 days' notice, so I don't even know what my week is going to be sometimes. So the critical attribute there is flexibility, and you might be able to get a sense of if it's a policy scholar, what that person's day to day is like just based on the interview itself. Are they in an Uber? Are they in a calmer setting? Do they have like nice plants behind them? I don't know. You can sort of glean what that person is going to be like based on the interview itself. So it kind of goes both ways. We're interviewing a potential intern. Mm-hmm. That same person should be thinking about us. Like, is this a good fit for me?
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. As much as you might be potentially interviewed, consider that in a way you are interviewing the organization. You know, you are determining based on your experiences, your interests and goals, whether or not the Cato internship is right for you. I think that's a very helpful way to look at it. So now I want to also ask a question that the intern panel covered, which is the bio section. What do you all look for in the bio section? We'll start with Paul.
Broadly speaking, there is no wrong answer to what to put in the bio section, but basically we want to understand where you're coming from, what's your life like, what kind of person you are. We're not asking you for like a whole personality quiz and test or anything like that, but we'd just like to know a little bit more about you. So like just your background a little bit, how you came here, what you were studying. I think that kind of stuff's all really helpful because it's hard to explain, but you never know what might become relevant in politics. Like someone in my intern class was a student athlete, then they were very intensely into all the issues around student athletes not being paid and such. So the reason we ask for these biographical details is not because we need to know every single little piece about you, it's because it actually might come up more than you think, that these parts of your life were like, you actually might be interested in this kind of book or this kind of thing. So I think it's just a way for scholars to better connect with interns and have an idea of who they are, and just basically a good kind of introductory way, how you talk to about yourself in a professional setting anyway.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I think, honestly, my best piece of advice for that, consider somebody else who has filled out the application in a similar way with similar departments. What makes you stand out? I definitely think, and it doesn't have to relate to the roles that you applied for, as Paul mentioned. It's about what makes you stand out. Go ahead.
It's also like about applying like the reasoning. So you can just say, I studied economics at such and such school, but the bio is a chance to say why I studied economics and what interested me in it and how I was brought in an early age, whether it was through a family member or a conversation with a friend. It's the way to explain why you made all these decisions up till this point. And I think that's really helpful.
I agree. How about you, Rachel?
Well, I definitely agree with Paul that there's no wrong answer to the bio section, but maybe a less preferable answer is kind of using it to regurgitate your resume or things that you've already said on the application. So it's definitely that opportunity where you can explain maybe why you got to the point where you're interested in this area, maybe why you are interested in Cato in general. That's an area where you can really expound, and it, in my opinion, should not be used to kind of restate just your resume that we have already seen. If I'm looking at someone's resume and then I read their bio for more information, I don't want it to be everything that I just read. So really use it to say something that you haven't said before.
Agree with that. You know, I mean, again, that's partly why we have a word limit. Focus on what you haven't covered before. And more broadly, you know, this application is what we're asking for in place of a resume. That might be asked for, depending on the department, if you proceed to finalist status. But keep in mind that we are asking for the application in place of your resume, and you have the space to offer us more context than a resume can honestly give. So, Travis, what would your perspective be?
I think the why is the more important thing. It's the more interesting thing to me. It's not just a list of activities or here's how I spend my time. It's more about I care about this issue because, or this is a part of my background that matters a lot, and this is what brought me to this movement in general. Mm-hmm. I think there's an opportunity there to tell a story and mm-hmm. to explain yourself, what motivates you, mm-hmm. what grabs your interest. All of those things are much more interesting to me than just sort of a list of extracurricular activities. Like, this is, you know, I play baseball. Like, okay, but is there a story there?
Right.
And can you tell a story about yourself? Which really gets back to one of the other fundamental skills, like, can you put together a narrative? Yeah. That is very important in the policy world. So all of that stuff can indicate whether someone is going to be, you know, not only an interesting person to get to know, mm-hmm. but can they do the parts of the job that are important too, which part of that is storytelling.
100%. I mean, certainly consider the perspective of our interns. You know, they all took a good amount of time preparing for their applications, thinking about the answers they were going to give. You know, that's really important, is because we want you to tell us the story, as Travis mentioned, you know, and it's not just about your professional life. It's also how you started feeling that from an intellectual point of view, Cato's a right fit for you, from the time you first started thinking about ideas to encountering them in books, to deciding to what your interest areas are going to be and how that carries over into how you approach the application. How all of those things and relating them together are very important. So one other question we got, so I can cover this one. So we do provide resources and recommendations for housing. That is one thing that I will mention there. I did want to ask, with the time we have left, just one more broad question. What are the kinds of milestones or expectations you all have for interns in your role? So Paul, we'll start with you.
Milestones and expectations. I don't know if I would have milestones and expectations, but I would say one of the most important times when you first get a new intern is seeing what their first project is going to look like. And a lot of scholars will tell you they'll give a project to an intern, and basically that's kind of how they're going to assess them. Mm-hmm. They're going to say how much detail they provide, how much work they do here, mm-hmm. says an awful lot. So I think that first week, it's really important to make a good impression, introduce yourself well, but also like do the work that's asked of you and do it to the best of your abilities and set the standard that you're going to be moving on for the rest of the internship. Mm-hmm. But the milestones I think about in the internship, like 5 years on from my own, was doing the seminar series and going through that. And the intellectual journey was extremely interesting for me. And that's when I was an intern, that's what I cared about most. And that was like my milestones, was listening to all these different scholars, going to talks outside of Cato as well. Like, I don't think it's not restrictive. You can do so much stuff in this town. You can see so many other different think tanks, so many different perspectives, non-libertarian perspectives as well. So I don't think I have an answer for a particularly brilliant milestone, but I think it's important to set good standards from the very beginning. And I always love to see when interns publish either with Cato or outside of Cato. I always think that's like one of the most amazing, very fulfilling things to see. And I always remember every single person who's an intern who started publishing with us, because it's just brilliant to me.
Indeed. A number of interns after the program, they do go on to publish and even co-publish with some of our scholars. One story I always like to tell, there was an intern who was a freshman, and he was tasked with a data analysis that he really didn't feel prepared for, but by learning from other interns in the collaborative workspace we have, he was able to get to a point where he could complete that task and went on after the program to co-publish with one of our scholars. So, yes, very good, Paul. Rachel, what would you say?
Not necessarily a milestone, but going off of the comment about kind of the first week, kind of to gauge them for how they're going to go going forward. Mm-hmm. I think in government affairs, I have almost a little bit of a different perspective. I think because a lot of the interns that I've worked with have been, you know, from different countries, and maybe they're not as familiar with the way that the American government is structured, or they maybe worked in state versus federal government. I think one of the things that's most important in the first week to me, first few weeks to me, is not necessarily the outcome of their work, but their ability to apply themselves and take the feedback that we give them for that first few assignments to grow and learn. I think some of my best interns have been the ones who are most willing to apply themselves and learn about an entire new system of government that they didn't grow up learning. So I think that being excited and willing to apply yourself is important.
Thank you. We are nearing the end. Before I go to Travis, just want to indicate the deadline for the summer application is tomorrow at midnight Eastern time. So, Travis, any thoughts?
Well, the quick answer is clarity. So coming into the internship, it's probably an open question. Is this the right policy? Is this the right field for me? Should I be in the think tank industry? And I was an intern at a state level think tank, and the answer for me was yes, absolutely. But the answer may not be yes, and that's okay too. But to come into this with an open mind and to leave with clarity, either yes, absolutely, this is where I want to go, or if not, that's also important information to learn.
Very good. Well, thank you all so much for joining us for Internship Insights. The deadline, once again, is tomorrow at midnight Eastern time. Best of luck with applying. Thank you.